David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalamet. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest. Before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors who make this show happen. I'd like to give a quick shout out to iHeartRadio and to Spreaker who support us and sponsor us and make this show possible. And today we have a very special guest. We have Cindy Dailama, and she is an amazing woman. She is an author. And she has an amazing story to share. She has gone through a lot in life, medically, physically, mentally, and she has overcome it all. She has rose above the chaos. She has overcome her obstacles. And now she's here to help others. And her story is truly amazing. And she's going to share it with you today. And you're just going to be blown away about what she's gone through and how she's overcome crisis in her life and also grief. So, Cindy, can you tell us a little more about your life's journey and what inspired you to start sharing your story and your poetry?
Hi, Stacey. Hi, everyone. Actually, my life has been a myriad of experiences. Like, I grew up in a traditional East Indian family where you had to, you know, behave a certain way and do things a certain way, and I didn't fit in. So I was always the different child, the trouble child. And you got rejected and ostracized because you're not supposed to question traditions or things like that. And then later on in life, I chose to marry somebody out of my own religion, and I got disowned by my family and friends and everybody. And then, well, my husband and I started from minus, and we worked hard all our lives and stuff. And unexpectedly, I got ill. And I lost 4 years of my life in a fog of illness because they couldn't figure out exactly what was wrong with me in the beginning. And then they found out I had lupus and serositis and chronic kidney disease and anemia and a myriad of other things. And they tried me with drugs for the lupus, and I flatlined. And every time they would try something, I would flatline. And then they said, okay, you're allergic to our medication. And like in 4 years, I was in this fog, and I ended up in a wheelchair. And I was a teacher for over 25 years, so I had to leave medically unfit. Well, at this I can say I'm sane because I got evaluated by 4 psychiatrists who found I was sane. So I'm probably the only one who certified sane out of most people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I had to adjust to life being in a wheelchair. And I loved my independence because I love to drive, I love to do things and stuff like that. And so now I had to adjust to this whole new life with illnesses in my body. I'm allergic to a medication, so I can't take anything.
Right.
So you live with the pain every single day. You deal with it. And nobody understands or whatever that what you're going through. And right. Then my husband unexpectedly died after a very brief illness in Christmas Eve in 2021.
Wow.
And that was like a jolt. And I didn't know what to do because I was in a fog because everybody was, to be honest, everybody expected me really to be the one because of the illness. And then the biggest shock came to me 3 days after my husband died when one of the relatives said, why didn't you die instead? Now, I don't think anybody ever expected to be asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And the only response I could think of was, I don't know, maybe you should ask God, because I never asked him why, and maybe he'll give you an answer, why I'm still here. And they cut ties with me since then. I've not had any contact with a lot of people because a lot of people reacted contrary, and they kind of blame me for being alive in a sense, because my husband died and after short illness, and I was still here, and I didn't understand that in the least. And remember, I was dealing with my own loss
Yeah.
and the illnesses in my body. And I just in 2022, January, I just said, God, don't know what to do anymore, but I don't want to be a burden to anybody.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And the only person who can fix this is you, so help me.
Right.
And I started trying to walk, and now I can walk. And like I tell everybody, I live by God's grace, because there's no medical reason for me to be alive.
Right. That's truly amazing. Now you face numerous challenges, like including lupus and chronic kidney disease, and you've managed to overcome them in remarkable ways. How did you find the strength to keep going and defy medical expectations?
To be honest with you, the only thing I knew is there is a higher being who is above all things. And I wouldn't say I'm religious, I'll say I'm spiritual. Because in everything I see about around me, there must be someone who created all of this. Remember, we come into this world, which is ready-made. We didn't create the world. We came into this world, which is ready-made.
Yes.
And we adjust to the, and we take it for granted.
Yes, we do.
We take everything for granted, right? And to me, I've always thought a little bit odd, I guess most people would call it, in that when I see things a bit different. And
Yeah.
all the life experiences I've had have opened my eyes in a way to like, this isn't what all there is to it. There must be something better than this. There has to be something better than this. And
Yes.
when I looked around, I mean, and then you, like, I did sciences in secondary school, right? So, you know, you understand biology and how things work. And then you would read about all these discoveries and about how things are formed and about stars and stuff or whatever. But
Yes.
then I said, but it must come from something.
Yeah.
And how does my body know to breathe? How does blood know to flow through my body? I mean, it isn't as if there's a switch I switch on, it just
Yeah.
comes. So I said, look, there must be something greater than all this. And then I knew in myself that nothing is a coincidence in life, nothing is random.
Yes.
And the one thing I never did was I never questioned why I got sick. I never said, why am I sick? Why is this life is so unfair? I don't know, because I said I was a teacher and I would see children and who are sick
Yes.
and they didn't ask for it. I said things happen in life for a reason, because sometimes some of the greatest people may not be the most physically able to people,
Yep.
may not be what we call the mentally able people. Because some of the greatest writers and inventors and mathematicians and stuff like that were people who were seen as having or being less. I wouldn't say disability, as being seen less, because a dis you don't really have a disability.
Right.
Right? I don't see things as disabilities. I just see it as your way of you having to negotiate life in a new way, because we all have things we have to go through. So we all have disabilities because we are all imperfectly human. That's it.
Yes.
You
A
know,
hundred
so.
percent. Yes, definitely. Now, your writing covers deep themes like grief, loss, self-discovery. Can you walk us through your writing process and how you chose these themes for your poems and for your novels?
If I were to tell you, I don't pick a topic and I don't know what to write, it just comes.
Just kind
because like a thought would come and I would just start writing. Because when I started writing, first I have always had problems running through my head, but
Yeah.
for that, but you know, life stepped in, you're busy, you didn't have time, and then
Yeah.
writing is not considered a profitable career. Well, in my country growing up, you know, no, you can't be a writer. You know, that doesn't work out. You'll never be, you know,
Yeah.
you'll never get anywhere with it. So it kind of like stayed with me. And then in 2022, a friend of mine asked me a question. And he said, Cindy, I want you to focus on this and write me the answer. And what came out was a poem. And I just opened my mind. And from then, I started writing poetry. And in a year, I wrote over 300 poems. It just came, right?
Right.
And then I always wanted to be a writer. And everybody said to me, Cindy, why don't you write? Because you're an inspiration to everybody, you know? And your life is what inspires a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the way I speak to people in that, I do help a lot with friends, and I did counseling with like children who had like terminal illnesses, you know, small things and stuff. And then I don't know, I just felt it. And then in November 2023, is like everything just kept coming down because like I thought I was coping, you know, I was going through, I was managing, I was seeing about everything, you know. Yes, I would feel the pain of the loss and stuff like that. But I said, listen, you know, you got two things, you can move ahead, whatever. And in 1 month, I just broke down and wrote the book. I don't
Wow.
know what I don't, to be honest, I really don't know. It was like if I sat down and I planned because I did attend a workshop because I said, okay, I want to start writing on, but you know, it wasn't like a focused thing. And I
Yes.
just started writing and now the book has poetry in it. Grief is the Price You Pay for Love has poetry in it, interwoven with the story, because that's how I write. The poem came and then I wrote, and then in between writing, like a poem would come up, and I said, no, books don't have poetry in between it. But I said, look, this is how I write. So I just, as the poems came up, it just
Yes.
fell in with everything. And I don't, like, I shouldn't say, like, I don't rewrite a book. What I write is exactly how the book was written. The book you read is exactly how the book was written. It may have gotten edited for the grammar and stuff like that and thing and for the formatting, but like I said, this is raw for me because it was what went through me and how I fought myself to, because you do battle yourself.
Yes.
You do fight yourself to find out, okay, how do I get through this?
Yeah.
I might be fine. And then, you know, you live in the house where the person was, and everything you see has a memory, or you hear a
Yeah.
song, or you hear a phrase, or somebody says something, you know, and it comes up. And
Yeah.
you find yourself, you say, okay, well, today I'm moving, I'm doing this, I'm getting through with this. And then suddenly you crash. And what I realize is that when you crash, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to give in to grief. It's okay to feel it because this was part of you. This was part of your life. And what you're feeling is an absence.
Yes.
And somebody's physical presence may not be there, but the memories and what you felt and what you did and those things remain with you.
Yes.
You can't get rid of those because those are your memories. And unless you
Yeah.
want to do a lobotomy or clear your whole head, I mean, that's the only thing you can do. You have to learn to accept it, give yourself permission. But what I realize is that there's a difference between accepting the grief and becoming entrenched in self-pity.
Right.
Because sometimes what we do is we say, okay, I'm feeling this loss so much and it's hurting. And remember, it doesn't have to be a loss of a person. It could be loss of a relationship or something. And I'm
Right.
feeling this so much, you know? And this is, and why did this have to happen to me? This is so unfair. You know, I don't deserve this, you know? and you start pulling yourself down and it hurts so much and you cry and whatever. And then the more you do it, the more you pull yourself down.
Right.
And that's when you go from feeling your loss into self-pity. And some
Yes.
people become entrenched in the self-pity and they use it always to say, well, I lost my husband, I lost my job, my relationship broke up, you know, I lost my friends or whatever, you know, so feel sorry for me. And after a while, that kind of turns off a lot of people.
Yeah.
It even turns off you because you just see yourself in this martyr or in this victim mentality. And you're not a victim. You're a human.
Exactly.
That is part of being human. You can feel, but you have to know when to stop yourself. And that's what I did. And that's what my writing did, because I realized that if I let it be, then I'm going to pull myself down.
Right.
And I'm going to reach a point where I shift from just not, because when you go into grief.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
You remember all the bad things that happened to you.
Yes.
And I think most people who grieve will tell you that. It wouldn't be just the loss of the person or the job. You say, well, this always happens to me. People always leave me. You know? Nobody really supports me. When I need people, they're not really there. And you start to, then your mind will shift to all the bad things that ever happened in your life.
Right.
And that's what I did in the book, because when I was going through the grief of dealing with the loss and the absence, it came up things that I had settled long before, like forgiveness of all the people who hurt me and the battles I had to go through and the instances, which is why in the book I give instances of things, you know. But I realized that what I was doing was I was pulling me down.
Yes.
I was blaming others for my feelings when I'm the one in charge of my feelings. I'm
Right.
the one who is in charge of who I am.
Yes.
And we need human contact, yes, but we
Right.
also need to know our own value.
Yes.
And our own expectations, like I said, you never let life's experiences regulate or determine your own expectation and who you are, because there's only one you.
Yes, 100%. Now, you mentioned that the passing of your husband was a major event in your life, and that how did your writing help you cope with the grief? And what do you hope others will take away from your book? Grief is the price that we pay for love.
Writing was like, sometimes you see, we can't talk to people because they may not understand, because they're not me and they're not going through the same experience.
100%.
And what I have found is that sometimes it helps to, even if you could record it, you don't have to write.
Right.
You have to face what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you're going to keep cycling over and over and over. And the same thing, and every time you get you feel a little sad, you'll get drawn in and in, and you'll be going over the same thing over and over and over. And as time passes, that becomes your norm.
Right.
But you see, when you start writing, or you start recording how you're feeling,
yes,
you recognize and you accept. You begin to accept that it hurts. I'm missing this person. You know, this is how I am feeling at this time.
Yes.
Right? And when you listen over to it, or when you read it over, as time passes, you begin to recognize that it's okay. It hurts.
Yes.
You know, and that way you begin to see and you begin to accept your old feelings, and you begin to accept that this person is no longer physically here.
Right.
They are in your heart, and Listen, you do never get over grief. You never get over loss. It's not if you can switch us, you can click a switch and say, oh wow, well, that part of my life is gone. This person is no longer here. You see, that's being in denial. And I think denial is one of the biggest obstacles to people. I don't say healing from grief because you don't heal from grief. You manage it and you create space around it.
A
And
hundred
that is
percent.
when you see, when you start writing, you begin to put your feelings in actual form that you can actually see for yourself. Because when you're thinking in your head, very often it'll slip away and you don't see it. But for me, like writing was an outlet. And you write out everything you feel, what is good, bad, horrible. And what people call it journaling, I think. And you see, you acknowledge yourself, and after a while you begin to recognize this, how it flows, the cycles you're going through. And then you have to see, and I think that's when you have to realize that, listen, there was a we, a you and a me, and that made we. But now you are gone and it's only me. And I have to learn now to just be me. It doesn't mean I'm going to forget you. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't remember you. What it means is that I am still here. And a lot of people don't like hearing that. I know a lot of people are probably going to say, well, no, but you have to face the fact. That is a fact. I am still here. Me. And I am not denying my loss. I'm not denying my grief. I am not denying what I feel. But what I have to realize is that I am here. And now is the time for me to decide what I am going to do from this point on. Because who I had is no longer here. But I still have a life. I still have responsibilities. I still have a purpose because it is not by accident that I'm still here. There must be something that I'm supposed to do further. And you have to sit down, and whilst you journal on your grief, you have to journal on where do I want to go from here? And that's what I started doing. And my writing was the way that I wrote, and it just came out. And I realized that whilst we accept grief, and we accept the person, we don't agree with it. And there's a difference between acceptance and agreement. And that's something that I found in me. I don't know if anybody, but that is with me. Because I accepted the loss. I know the loss. I live with the loss and absence every single day. But I may not agree with it in that I'm battling myself. And, in one sense, in one part of your head, you're still thinking that, this is all the things that happen. This is what we plan to do. This is our dreams. This is what we hope for in the future. And the other, and you don't agree with yourself that this person is gone. And that's more like a subconscious level. You don't agree. So when you write, what you're doing is you are putting your emotions and you are agreeing that this person is no longer here. So that is how writing and recording your emotions kind of touches base with you inside, in that you begin to see a bigger picture that this person was part of my life. They're not here now. We had precious memories. And you continue to share that. And even though people will tell you, well, I mean, that was like the person died like 3 years ago or something, why do you still talk about them so much? I mean, that's denial because the fact is that I will talk about them because they might not be physically here, but they were part of my life and they are still inside of me. I still carry the memories. I still remember my feelings. I still love. So, and that is how the writing helped me on the journey. And the book covers like all these side things that come up, the tangential stuff that come up when you're going through grief. Because grief is not isolated to just, or loss is not just isolated to just the feelings. because your mind is a library and it'll keep pulling out all the books of all the past things that happened and all the past pains, and it will compound and you'll get flooded over
Right.
with everything.
That's
But
so true.
what I have learned is that you do need to sit by yourselves and accept it. And writing does help, or even if you record your voice, if you're not so whatever, and create space. You need to create space. And creating space is not that you are burying your memories or that stage in your life. What you are doing is you, because that grief will always remain in you, what you're doing is you are stepping out and expanding you. In that, maybe there is something you wanted to do, a hobby, or you can start just walking around, going outside. You can start joining like support groups or whatever. You can start talking to other people. You can write. You can do activities with friends. People may invite you out, and sometimes you don't want to because it was something that you and your partner did, or something that you associated with someone, or like activity associated like work or something that you lost, or some whatever loss you suffered. You don't want to do it because it brings back up these memories, but maybe you should give yourself the opportunity to see. Because you have a right also to find your joy in life. And remember, your joy comes from you. Nobody else can give you joy. You feel pain, yes. You feel loss, yes. But life is not meant to be buried by every life experience you get. Because if you wake up tomorrow and you go outside, you will see the sun. You do breathe. And you will notice that subtle changes because the sun never remains in one spot. It moves throughout the day. That is the way your life moves. You start, you hit the midpoint, and then you begin to fade. So that is how you are. You have to say, I have this deep loss, and it's hard, and nobody understands, but I carry it in me, but am I going to stay here all the days of my life? I don't know how long I'm going to live for again. Maybe it could be tomorrow, maybe it could be next 20 years or whatever. But am I going to stay in this spot for the rest of my life and be this way? And you have to like see, I am me now. And I will carry my loss and I will create my space. And that's what I did. And my writing was that was this form of creating my space of expressing myself. I said, listen, there are millions of people who suffer loss and grief. And they get told, do this, do that, do the other. And nobody really understands them. Because grief is personal, grief is messy. Grief doesn't follow a timeline. Grief doesn't follow a set. You get angry this day, then you move to denial, then you move to grief does not follow that. I am sorry, but grief does not follow that.
No, it doesn't. It
There
doesn't.
is no schematic to probe it or to say, okay, we will deal with this, we'll deal with that, we'll deal with that. And then at the end of of all these stages, wow, I'm gonna be fine. No.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that. And
No, it's not.
that is why I wrote the book, because I said, like, people talk about grief. Yes, we have a lot of books on loss and grief and dealing with stuff and things like that. But mine is personal. Mine is my, this is my experience with it. This is what my thoughts are. Like I said, it's raw, it's me, it's everything. And surprisingly, do you know, like I gave away some of the books and I gave some to like people, widows, people who lost husbands, right? And a couple of my neighbors, like a couple of people I gave the books to. And they started reading it. This was like when the book came out a little while ago. So I gave it to one of my neighbors. She lost her husband about 4 months ago, 4 years ago. And she was like, And she just said, and she called me and she said, "Cindy, oh my God, this is exactly how I feel. You know,
Yeah.
it's like you are saying exactly how I feel. It's like you are saying my thoughts."
Yeah.
And then like another person I gave it to, she was like, "You have no idea." No, she's
Yeah.
not a widow or anything. She said, "You have no idea how much this book has helped me." And if you go on like Amazon, you'll see the comments that people made. You'll see the reviews that I got and what people wrote, you know, because I didn't, to be honest, I didn't expect this impact because I
Right.
thought that, people go through grief, so people are accustomed. Like everybody else, it's personal, people deal with it and stuff. And I really didn't expect so many people to like, "This is exactly how I feel. This is helping me so much. I mean, I am writing and underlining things in your book." And I got this from about 10 people who I gave books to. And that surprised me because like I was like, I didn't think, people would, it would touch people. And they said, "No, this is exactly how I feel. This is what I'm going through. This is how I think, and I didn't think anybody would understand." And to read that, you're going through the same thing gives me so much comfort. And
Yeah.
your advice about how to take it and how to look at things, it has helped me a lot. And that is what I want to do with this book, because I said, if I could help other people see that illnesses and loss and life challenges that come at you, because I've seen everything, basically. I guess, like I always say, I don't know what life has in store for me, but what you have to do is you have to learn to build on what you experience in life. You have to
Oh,
learn to
my.
see everything as a stepping stone. People
Yes.
don't like you, fine. That's their choice. Maybe there's something better.
Right.
A relationship breaks up, well, maybe that's because you deserve somebody better. Don't look as if, like, "Oh my God, what is wrong with me?" You have to change your perspective, which is why I tell people,
Exactly.
sometimes you have to look through new eyes, and this is what I do. You have to look through new eyes, right?
Yes.
We see a coin, and like in the book, I start with this little thing that most people found was very strange. You see a coin, and you see, okay, a coin has three sides, front, back, and the rim around it, right? But
Yes.
then I said, no, a coin has five sides. If you're making a coin, not manufacturing a coin, if a iron master or a welder has to make a coin, he has to have a front. He has to have a back. He has to have a piece through the middle, right? For around the
Right.
rim. But
Yep.
he also has to have a piece to weld the pieces together. Because you can't weld the, you can't put all three pieces together and they're gonna stick. No, you have to weld it. So you have
Right.
a front, which is your future. The
Right.
back piece of it is your past. And your past, when it is welded to the rim,
Yes.
that kind of is a prelude into your present. Because whilst your past doesn't determine who you are, what it does, it is does give you insight into what you like, what you don't like, what you want to do, what you don't want to do.
Yes.
You learn lessons from your past. And the rim is your present. This is where you are now.
Yes.
And the front piece is your future. This is like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I would like to happen in my life. So when you put your vision and your expectations and your dreams into your present, you have to weld it also. So you have to realize
Right.
that what I do today, who I am right now, my expectations, my steps forward will determine how my future is.
Right.
So that's why I said a coin has five sides. It does not have two sides.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, are there any upcoming events or books that you're currently working on that you'd like to share with us when with the
I am working on a book right now, and it's called Toxic People Ruin Lives, But Love Does Exist. Because like I told you, I have like I counsel a lot of people, and I was like friends to a lot of people, and
Yes.
somehow they all felt they all kind of like would turn to me for advice and stuff like that. So throughout all the years, and I also dealt with like young people who had problems and like medical problems or mental problems or stuff like that. So they would, and it kind of came in my head and I realized that. But recently what I've heard about is like a lot of like toxic relationships and people trouble, and I'm like, but you can't help it because people decide who they want to be and how they want to be. But what you can do is realize that you don't have to stay in it.
Yes.
And that while toxic relationships, toxic people can realize because they do.
Yes.
But love does exist and love does come true. I mean, and I have seen that and I know that to myself that, you see, we are made of love. We are made from love. We come from love and we hold love inside of us.
Yes.
That's what I always say.
It's true though. It's so true. It's so true. And for people who are out there that are struggling with immense challenges, whether it's health related, whether it's personal, emotional, whether it's about, you know, toxic relationships or whether it's about grief, you know, what would you give them? What would be your own advice based on your own experiences that you've gone through in life to them?
Accept you how you are. You have to value yourself. Because sometimes when things happen, we always say, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? That's a question that always comes up. I think, and that's what falls back to most people. What did I do wrong? You know, I mean, how could I have made this better? Whatever. You know, you second guess and you overthink.
Yes.
I think the most important thing what I learned is that I can't be anybody else except me.
Right.
I can't copy anybody else. I can't expect anybody else to understand me, but I can love myself. 100%. And I can accept my situation. And I can sit down with myself because sometimes very often, how often do you ask yourself, Stacey, how am I today? You see somebody, so I say, hey, Stacey, how are you going? And you say, oh, I'm good. But when do you sit down and ask yourself, Stacey, how am I today?
Yeah.
So this is something, see, we have to sit down and ask yourself. You don't have to look in a mirror. You can just sit down and see. So that's what I said. Like I said, I don't know why I started doing this, to be honest with you. You know, but I found myself doing it. Like, I said, Cindy, how are you today? And I said, I have no idea. You know, I didn't know where that came from, to be honest with you. I didn't know where it came from. All I know is that I was conflicted. I was hurting. You felt neglected by everybody else. You know, so my head is hurting. I can't do anything about it and stuff like that. And then I said, okay, Cindy, how are you feeling today? I really have no idea. No, you have an idea. I said, kind of like you talk to yourself. No, it doesn't mean you're bipolar or you're psycho or whatever. It just means that, you see, you acknowledge yourself as a person. And very often, we don't acknowledge ourselves as a person.
That's so true. That's very true.
The same consideration you give to everybody else, do you give to yourself?
A lot of people don't now.
The same sympathy you give to other people, do you give to yourself? No, you come down on yourself, you know? I could have been nicer. I could have done this differently. I could have reacted. Yes, but remember one thing, you're human.
Exactly. 100%.
So my advice to anybody who's going is that you didn't ask for it. It's not your fault that you got sick or you suffered a loss. It will hurt. You are human. But see you. Look after yourself. Be 100%. Just you. And sit down with yourself and have a conversation every single day and sort out what you feel. Sort out, not based on what other people think, sort out on what you feel. Sort out your emotions. Sort out your expectations. Not what other want from you, not what other people want from you. Sort out what you want.
Yes.
And write it down. And every day, make a mental note of what you did today that you want from. Because, okay, I got up today. I completed my list. I wrote in my journal. I took a walk. I enjoyed playing with my dog. I spoke to some friends. Those are things that you did for you.
Yes.
I know what you did for you. Not that, okay, I went to work and I finished this and X and Y. No, 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 no. Or I cleaned the house. Or, no, 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 no. We'll talk about what you did for you.
Exactly.
Value yourself. And then you find that the more you send, you see what I am capable of. Okay, I was in a wheelchair. And it was hard to move about. Now, my house is an open floor. So I had, like, I could have moved about and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I cooked. I learned to adapt to cooking and to
right.
feeding myself and to cleaning up and doing everything all by myself.
Right.
You know? And to me, that was a win because I did it for myself. I didn't have to. Now, of course, I couldn't do everything for myself because I was restricted. But when I started, like, saying, I can still cook, I can still get everything, and I put every and they put everything like that was accessible to me.
Yeah.
I did, I started doing it. And I would cook and I would sweep. Even though it was a wheelchair, I could still sweep up with a wheelchair and I could
right.
do things, you know. And it's not as if you don't look at what you can't do, focus on what you can do.
100%. Yes.
You know? Okay, fine. Somebody left me. I don't know why he or she did. I don't understand what I did wrong, why they couldn't love me. But stop yourself and say, listen, did you ever stop to think that maybe they weren't good enough for you or they couldn't meet your standards? That is why. And they felt they weren't worthy of you and they were incapable of loving you. Instead of looking as if something was wrong with you, look as if. I have breathing space now. It was a lovely relationship. Everything was good, whatever. But now I know what to look for in people. It was a learning lesson. But it also gives me space. I also get space. Because sometimes when you step back from something and you step back from your whole situation and, you know, feeling overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
When you take a step back and look at it and said, as an observer, not as a participant.
Right.
And you make a list of, okay, these were the good things, these were the bad things. Where am I?
Exactly.
Now, I know I talk about lists and things like that, but honestly, that's what I do, and then I bring the list afterwards.
Right.
You know?
I like that.
And like, I would sit down and say, okay, what can I do? What am I capable of?
Right.
Okay, and these are the things I can't do.
Yeah.
But then I look at the list and I said, okay, well, okay, I want to do this, but I'll find a way to do it. And you kind of, when you start focusing not on your lack
yes.
or the bad things in your situation, you'll be amazed how many things you can actually do. Like,
oh.
Even with grief, I know I will never get over it. I will never get over the loss because I cannot replace the loss because it's gone. And the absence will always be there.
Right.
I cannot get rid of the memories because that's part of who I am.
Yes.
That's part of what the person was to me.
Yes.
Right? And I treasure that because if I were to bury that, it means I'm denying what I had with somebody and what I felt for somebody. And I'm, in a way, what I'm doing is shortchanging myself. Because you do shortchange yourself when you try to bury grief and bury emotions and stuff like that. You shortchange yourself.
Yes, you do.
Right? And when you give in to anger and rage about things like that, you shortchange yourself because what you're doing is you're shifting, recognizing what is happening in you to
yes.
something external.
Yes.
Right? So that's what I say. The most important thing is when you are going through it, is what I've learned is that accept everything that happened, agree with it, and give yourself time to feel.
Yes.
But don't wallow in it. You know, even if you have to say somebody like, okay, listen, ask one of your friends or something, you know, whatever. It's like, listen, I'm not feeling really good right now. And this is really hard for me. Like, can you call me back in an hour
right.
and tell me, hey, how are you good? What are you thinking right now? You know, so you can get support otherwise, right? And that can pull you out of just slipping instead of spending the whole night crying and raving and gluttony carrying over to the next day and it's building and building. You
Yes.
can learn to manage yourself.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
If you had to take today's conversation, you wanted to pull out a couple important factors. What are some of the things that you really want people to remember from this conversation today?
That nothing in life is worth losing yourself over, and that you have more in you than you ever thought possible. And life is unpredictable, and we can't control circumstances or people. What we can do is control our reaction, not really
Yes.
reaction, because I don't react to things, I say response. Our
Right.
response to things. And it may be hard, it may be difficult, but once you begin to take that first little step
Yes.
and start connecting to yourself and start making you accountable to yourself for your own emotions and for your own identity, that I should say,
Right.
because specifically with grief and loss, you have to realize that it is not we, it is not you and me, it is just me.
Right.
And you have to accept and create space for you to grow and for you to live, because you were not meant to just remain in the abyss or this maelstrom of grief.
That.
You hold it, but you create space around it so that you can live because you are still here. And
Right.
never shortchange yourself in any situation, whether you have an illness, whether you have a disability, or what people see as a lack. Never, because you are only you, and only you can determine and define your life. Nobody else can.
Right.
Yes, you'll get criticism. Yes, you'll be shut down. Yes, there'll be people who will talk about you and want to stop you. But you have to know in yourself exactly what do I want to do with this lesson I've learned. I wrote
Yes.
this book, and it was a big risk for me because it was my life, basically.
Yeah.
And it was my grieving period, and it was my emotions, and it was my struggle to reach out to God because I felt isolated often.
Yes.
Because sometimes you feel you're going through things, and why aren't you helping me? It
Yeah.
just hurts and hurts, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And then finally, you realize that it's not that he wasn't there with you, it's you were running away from him.
Right.
He was
100%.
following he was following you. He was always there with you. Because you
Yes.
got up every day, so that means you he was here with you. You are
A hundred
breathing, that
percent.
means he's here with you. He gave you the strength to do things, that means he was with you. It's just you were running away. And sometimes when you stop and you said, God, I need help.
Yes.
That's all you have to do. Because like when I couldn't walk, I just said, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I need you to help me. And only you can do this. And I'm walking. Because like I said, miracles do happen. We
They
may
do
not think they
happen.
do. Miracles do happen. And
100%.
life is miracles and magic, salt and light, goodness and beauty. Because
Oh.
you can't appreciate something good unless you know something bad. You can't treasure the good things in life unless you have something to compare it with. And you
Yes.
can't know doing something if all you feel inside is lack.
Yes. 100%. Now, where can people find your book?
Well, Grief is a Price You Pay for Love by Faye Alion is available on Amazon.com. There is the soft paperback, the hardcover, and I think it's also available in Kindle. Yeah,
Wonderful.
ebooks. Yeah. And there is the author's website, which was set up, which is www.fayalion.com. No, a lot of people ask me, how do I pronounce your names anymore? And actually, they're all synonyms, the names that I use, because like it's Faye Allion, which is a nickname somebody gave me. Okay. And then the characters in the book, my friends who helped me, I changed their names. They were like Dark and Gayala. And those are also pseudonyms for like different things.
I
So.
love it. I love it. Now, on the website, do you have any blogs or any services or anything like that? Or right now, it's just you and your authored book and the poetry.
It's just me, the author book, and there is a the publisher did set up a website, an author's website, which is www.fayalian.com. So
I
you can
love
probably
it.
go to that also, and you can check it out. And I really hope that the book helps people because, like what I spoke about here, it's containing a lot more detail, and they can read poetry also because I also write poetry.
Oh, I love it. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Cindy, for coming on the show today. Your story is outstanding. I want to just give you, commend you for everything you've gone through in life, and you didn't let it, put you in a situation where you just got stuck in life and you didn't move forward, and you didn't get stuck in the past. You took what you learned, what you went through, you overcame it. And then you learned how to use it and help others. And this book is helping others. And through everything you've been through, I just want to just give you kudos for everything that you've done. You're an amazing woman, and I know how it feels to go through illness and not be able to be able to do the things you want or feel like you have limitations. And you overcame all that, and now you're in a situation where you're living life to the fullest, and you're teaching others how to do the same. Through your book, through your knowledge, through your experience. And I just want to say thank you for just being you and taking everything you've gone through life and putting it to good usage. And I really thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Stacey. The thing is, this is like something I mean, if you'd have asked me earlier that, Cindy, would you have ever written about your life? Maybe, because I was asked earlier, but I guess sometimes it just felt right
Yes.
because I know there are a lot of people who have trouble and they don't know where to find, like,
No.
they don't think anybody understands,
Yeah,
and
they
they
feel
don't
alone.
think that there's any way they can find relief or they can move forward. But that's why I hope my book can help as many people as possible. And because it was written to like give support to people and to touch lives and to let people see to through new eyes, then through a new perspective that, listen, if I can do this, you can do
Right.
this too.
Yes,
'Cause you're
100%.
just as human as I am.
Right. You are amazing. You are an amazing woman. I just want to say thank you for being you, and thank you for sharing your story, because sometimes it's not always easy to share your story. And I thank you so much for
I
being here.
know. Like, you sound as if, you know, I am all together, but actually, I was so. I said, oh my God, what am I going to say? I don't know.
Oh, you did an amazing job, and you're helping people right now, because the people who are listening, you're giving them hope, inspiration, motivation, direction, and you are helping millions of people out there. And I just want to say thank you, and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I really enjoyed talking to you. You're a fantastic host, actually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.